Today on Focal Point, from Pastor Mike Fabares.
And I don't know what the issue may be for you, but perhaps there's an issue in life that's painful. Maybe at work, maybe in your home, maybe relationally, maybe wherever, I don't know, economically, financially. But where there's that pain, we need to see if there is a connection. When there is a connection, we need to be careful to see it. Is God trying to say something here to me? Is he trying to speak through this painful event to get me to correct something, change something, start something, stop something in my life?
No child enjoys being disciplined, and yet as parents and caregivers, we understand the importance of setting healthy boundaries and enforcing those boundaries. It's not an act of vengeance, but of love. And today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares explains that God disciplines his children in a similar way. But how do we know when we're being disciplined, and how should we respond? Well, here's Pastor Mike to explain. He titled this message, Avoiding the High Cost of Selfishness, from his series, Consumer Christianity.
I initially thought this was a Groucho Marx joke because it kind of seemed like a Groucho Marx joke, but I discovered it was really a Henny Youngman joke. He used to say that he went to his doctor and he told his doctor that, he says, hey doc, it hurts when I do this. So his doctor said, don't do that. I told you it wasn't that funny. Youngman liked to joke about doctors. He said that one time he went to his doctor and he told his doctor that he had broken his leg in two places. So his doctor said, you ought to stop going to those places then. There was a certain attraction I had to those jokes this week because I thought they really encapsulate the basic truth that is being expressed in our passage, a truth that would be good for us as Christians to recognize and perhaps try to live by. The basic principle is, if there's pain involved, then maybe this is something God wouldn't have us do. Pain is often an indicator that something's wrong and it's a stop sign and God's trying to say, wait a minute, don't. My 12-month-old is learning this as she's beginning to crawl and late bloomer with her medical problems, but out she's out and she's going, and she's now has that perennial interest in electrical outlets and the ever-enthralling electrical cord. Now, my wife's a good mom, and she's got all those little funky plastic things and all the unused plugs, but every now and then we like to plug something in, and that's where the enthralling cord meets the very interesting electrical outlet. And as little baby Stephanie was crawling over to kind of check out this wonderful marriage of a cord and an outlet, she is reaching toward it, and Carl and I just happened to both be there and see it, and so we gave her the, oh, no, 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 no. No, no, baby Stephanie. You know, very in our nicest little cooing voice. No, 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 no. And just about the time we were walking over to get her, she got her finger in between the little plug and the outlet, and a nice blue spark arced off that thing. Zapped her finger. And she screamed like I've never heard her scream before. The good news is, she hasn't really been interested in the outlets ever since. She learned the basic principle. If it hurts, let's not do that. God's built that into nature. It's all over the place. The fire, oh, it's so pretty. Don't you want to touch it? No, don't. See? Don't. It hurts. And if you experiment with it, it'll hurt every time. And it hurts, so don't do it. But the reason it hurts is because God's built it into nature. He knows it's not good for your skin. So don't do it. So here's the pain to remind you, stop. My kids, they love to swim. They're swimmers. Wow, they love to swim all year round. Swim, swim, swim. We don't have a pool, but they go elsewhere. Talk about the buy the pastor a pool fund later. But when they're invited over to your house and they go to swim, they just can't get enough of the pool. But one thing they've learned is that when you're underwater there, don't try to breathe. That's not good. See, it hurts. And I try to explain to them, see, it hurts because it's not good for you. It's bad for you. It's bad for your lungs. Your lungs aren't designed to do that. So they learn that. And not only has God built that into the physical world, that's definitely true, but it's built into our relationship with God too. Have you noticed that? There is this relational connection between pain and oftentimes God trying to get us to stop doing something or perhaps even start doing something that we've stopped doing that we ought to be doing. It's put this way in Scripture, and it's a passage you ought to at least jot the reference down to. Don't have time to turn there, but jot it down. It puts it in one sentence, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 5. Deuteronomy 8, 5. And it simply says this, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so Yahweh your God disciplines you." That's how it works. And discipline's not fun, and it hurts. And he applies that discipline relationally, that pain relationally. We get it as Christians, and it's supposed to tell us, hey, if it hurts, don't do it. Stop. God is applying pain for a reason here. Now, that's a good principle. It'd be a good one to scratch down there and say, yeah, we need to live by that. The problem is there's two glaring flaws with trying to apply that principle. The first glaring flaw is it doesn't always hold true, right? There are certain pains in life that aren't indicators that we should stop. It's akin, I suppose, to the pain that they tell me people have when they work out. That kind of no pain, no gain, kind of we go and it's good and that pain you feel, that's good for your muscles. That's good. That's good pain. And I recognize that in our Christian life, sometimes the pain is not an indicator to stop. As a matter of fact, it's there and we're supposed to work our way through it. Marriage can be painful. Don't nod at this point, by the way, if you're here with your spouse. But marriage can be painful, but that doesn't mean we bail out, see? God will have us work through that pain. Parenting can be painful, right? But that doesn't mean we package our kids up and ship them off to some foreign country. Occasionally there is that temptation to do on those bad days. We want to, no, keep going. The pain doesn't mean to stop. Sometimes we got to know it doesn't mean to stop. But oftentimes it does. There's another problem with this principle. Sometimes we don't make the connection between the hurt, see, and the thing that's causing the hurt. Sometimes we don't catch, it hurts when I do this, doc. Well, then don't do that. Sometimes we don't get the connection between the hurt and the that. We don't know what's causing the pain. And we don't see it. Oh, we're well aware of what we're doing over here, but we just don't make the connection that this is causing this pain because God is disciplining us for that. Sometimes we don't see that. That's precisely the problem, by the way, with the Corinthians. They weren't making the connection. There was a pain in their church. They were being disciplined by God, and God was disciplining his kids there in Corinth. The problem is they didn't see the connection between their disobedience and their sin. So Paul was there, thankfully, to point it out. Here's the problem. Here's why you're suffering. And he makes the connection. Look at the passage with me as we wrap up the end of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, wrap up our series. We really make a major transition in the book of 1 Corinthians. But as we wrap this up, let's see this last installment in this discussion about the importance of making sure that when we approach God and we engage ourselves in church, that we are God-centered and Christ-focused. That's been our teaching here the last couple of weeks. We've seen that in 1 Corinthians 11. We saw the problem diagnosed for us in the first part there. We saw the solution spelled out for us last week in the preceding verses. Now in verse 27, he says, I just want to make the connection. That's why some things are going on here in your church. Look at verse 27. He says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Remember their potlucks, their gatherings, it culminated in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We talked about that last week and all that means. They were coming with the wrong perspective. They were selfish. This was about them. They weren't seeing what it was really all about. So they were doing it in an unworthy manner. Now make sure you don't get myopic on this passage. The unworthy manner was their whole approach to God, their whole approach to church. Their unworthy manner was they came rather to see what they could get from God, not how they could become a blessing to God. They came with a real selfish motive. And Paul says, listen, if you're going to meet here and it's all about you and it's a selfish motive, and then you're going to try and celebrate the Lord, man, you just realize that's not good. As a matter of fact, verse 27, you're going to be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. This is a sacred thing, and you guys are defiling it by your attitudes. So, verse 28, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, they're not focused on this, it's not a Christ-focused thing, then he eats and drinks judgment on himself. There it is, the little discipline aspect. There's going to be trouble. Now here's the key words in this, in the whole entire passage. Underline the next three words in verse 30. That is why, there's the connection. That is why many among you are three things, weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. We're not talking about boring sermons here. We're talking about death. That's a euphemism for death. Weak, sick, some of you have died. Notice the connector here. That is why your selfish approach to church, you're kind of putting Christ to the outside of this thing. That is the reason. You got a sin here going on in your lives and in the church, and that's why you're weak, sick, and some of you have even died. That's what's going on here. Do you not see the connection? Paul is there to point it out. Obviously, they weren't seeing it. Paul is there to clarify it. He wants to show it to them. The challenge for the Corinthians was to make the connection between the that and the hurt. They wanted to see that. Okay? That's the challenge also for us. And I don't know what the issue may be for you, but perhaps there's an issue in life that's painful. Maybe at work, maybe in your home, maybe relationally, maybe wherever, I don't know, economically, financially. But where there's that pain, we need to see if there is a connection. When there is a connection, we need to be careful to see it. Is God trying to say something here to me? Is he trying to speak through this painful event to get me to correct something, change something, start something, stop something in my life? We've got to fall into that pattern too. Number one on your outline, that's the key. We've got to start with that. We need to, number one, learn to recognize God's discipline. If God is disciplining here, if there's painful things and these are the result of God's discipline in my life, then I want to recognize it. Learn to recognize God's discipline. Now, the best way I know to do that is to kind of look through these first few verses and make some observations about discipline, what it is and what it isn't. And when we understand what it is and what it isn't, now we can start to kind of figure out if maybe the thing in your life is God's discipline or maybe it's not. We've got to put it in a category. So let us, four subpoints here, just kind of itemize some observations about discipline in this passage, and then we can maybe apply that and see if what I'm going through, what's painful in your life or my life or his life or her life is really God's discipline. Let's look at it this way. Letter A. Let's just make this observation from the passage. Ready? Here we go. Letter A on your outline. Every pain is not a spanking. Every pain is not a spanking. We can find places in Scripture where people are getting weak, sick, and dying, and it's not the discipline of God. As a matter of fact, every righteous person I see in the Bible that God is really thrilled with, guess what? They're dead. They all died. So I'm thinking, death isn't always God's discipline. Sickness isn't always God's discipline. I see that throughout the pastoral epistles. I see that in the Gospels. I realize that not every sickness, not every weakness, not every pain is a spanking from God. So I gotta note that. If you want another big bucket, and we could make subcategories, let's just make this bucket that's not disciplined, let's just put over that umbrella, let's put James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1, 2, because you know what that says. Here's James telling them they ought to count their trials as joy. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of various kinds, because you know, here's what it's called, that the testing of your faith, it produces perseverance, and perseverance has its perfect work. You become mature, complete, lacking in nothing. What's the point? There are some painful trials, and in the book of James, we're talking about persecution from the government. We're talking about people having their property confiscated, losing their jobs. Lots of painful events, and you know what? They're not God's judgment. They are tests of faith. Tests of faith to see people grow in their faith, become mature. So I know that some suffering, it's not God's spanking. It's growth. It's for growth. And so I got to know which bucket to put it in. If you want kind of a word picture of this, you might want to jot down John chapter 15, verse 2. That's when Jesus paints the word picture of his father being the vine dresser. And he says, I'm the vine. And then he says, you guys are the branches. He says, if I find any branch that's bearing fruit, any branch that bears fruit, here's what I do with them. What does he say he does? He frames them, right? Oh, I'm so happy. He gives them a big cosmic thumbs up. No, what's the Bible say? They get pruned. Now, I don't know. I'm not a gardener, but, you know, I've cut a few things down. And I'm thinking, that's got to be painful. That's got to be the James 1 concept. You will bear more fruit after you're pruned. If your faith is there, if it's tested and refined as by fire, 1 Peter 1 says, then you know what? It gets better, and you become more mature, and you bear more fruit, and you do good things. So I know that some pain in life, some pain in your life, is just about God growing you up, and that's what it's about. It's the no pain, no gain. It's the workout in the gym. That's what it is. But other pain isn't. Other pain falls into this category, but let's at least know there's two major buckets to put it in. Maybe this is God's corrective pain. Maybe this is just God's pain of growth. But I know there's two buckets. So I'm not saying, and if you miss this point, we're way off track. Not every pain in your life is God spanking, but it might be. It might be. Letter B. Let's look at it this way. Spankings, let's put it down this way. Spankings are not meant, they're not meant to be mysterious. Spankings aren't meant to be mysterious. God is not trying to be mysterious with you. I know that simply by the fact that Paul's clarifying it. God put Paul out there to write the letter to say, hey, you're sick, you're weak, and some of you are dying because, those three words we underline, this is why these things are happening. See, if they weren't going to get it on their own, God was going to send somebody to clarify it. Because God does not want to be mysterious about it, just like I don't want to be mysterious about it when I discipline my kids. Do you want to make it a big game, right? Why am I being disciplined, Dad? You figure it out. I'm not going to do that, right? I'm not going to make, you know, I'll give you 10. No, I'm not going to do that. I want to make it crystal clear. One of my kids right now is being disciplined, not only to get his spanking, but he's had his allowance taken away for 2 weeks, okay? So now, if we go on Monday Fun Day down to Walmart, and he opens up his wallet, and he wants to buy his little thing from the toy aisle, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, I don't have any money. Oh, why don't I have any money? See, if he asks that question, I'm so happy to answer it for him. You want to know why you don't have any money? Let's revisit that. You know why you don't have, you know why you're being disciplined? Because, and now I can spell it out. I want him to know it because corrective pain is all about him trying to see the wrong and then next time to avoid the wrong. So there's no mystery here. God is not trying to hide behind a veil. So what do we do? I think the best advice would be to pray this Psalm 139 prayer. Do you know the Psalm 139 verses 23 and 24 prayer where the psalmist says this, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, know my thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me and then lead me in the everlasting way. Put me on the right path. But God, I want you to check it out. What's going on here? Now, here's the thing. Ask that question. If it's not meant to be mysterious, I can guarantee you this, God is going to answer that prayer. He's going to make it clear. Just a little subnote to that. When you ask the question, make sure you really want an answer. Do you know how that works? You talk to people like that, they ask lots of questions, but they're really not interested in the answer. Please ask him the question and really be sincere enough to want an answer. God, tell me, show me. And you know what? If you're not getting an answer, then there may not be an answer. This may be growth for you. But you know what? You got to be willing to listen if he does have an answer to that question. Letter C. Back to 1 Corinthians 11. Letter C. Let's put it down this way. Spankings may not seem to be related to the disobedience. Spankings may not seem to be related to the disobedience. Here's what Paul has said in our passage. You got this selfish approach to worship. You guys come with the totally wrong motives. That is why some of you are weak, sick, and some have died. So if I ask the question from a theological perspective, why are they weak, sick, and some have died in Corinth? What's the answer? They've been disobedient. See, but if you ask me about why I got the flu on Wednesday, which of course I did, along with some of you, my first answer is probably going to be because I shook all those germ-infested hands last weekend. I must have shook, I don't know, 2,000 hands. And so I know that at some point, you know, I wasn't using my little hand thing. I didn't wash my hand. So, you know, I got sick. See, I'm asking the question, why did I get sick? And I'm going immediately to the physical earthbound answers. And you know what? Why did the Corinthians get sick? Same reason I got sick this week. Germs. That's why they got sick. But that's not really the reason that's important, is it? The real important reason is, you know what? God's not happy with what's going on in your life. That's why you got sick. And so I have to ask the question on Wednesday, and I need to say, God, I don't just want to look at my hygiene patterns on the weekend. I really need to be asking about something else. Is there something else in my life going on here? Are you trying to say something here? Because God is involved in everything in our lives. And if we don't see that, if we don't recognize that, then we're going to miss an opportunity to hear from a corrective word from God. Okay, God, you want me to move over here, and I've been going here. I'll listen to that. Now, sometimes it goes in the other bucket. This isn't discipline. Sometimes it's a sickness because whatever reason, God's moving me through that, and I'm going to learn something from it. Great, fine. But sometimes it's discipline, and I need to be willing to look past the physical earthbound explanations. Weak, sick, and death, I'm thinking lots of natural explanations for it, and they're true. Germs cause the sickness in Corinth. Germs cause the sickness in my life and in your life, but there may be a bigger, spiritual, more important reason for us to ponder. Fourthly, let's just jot it down this way. Letter D. All spankings are not created equal. Let's just put it down like that. All spankings are not created equal. Okay? Here's three things in our passage. Some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you have died. There are your choices. Which do you want? I'm thinking, sign me up for the weak part, maybe from Thursday to Friday. I'll deal with it then. If I got weakness, sickness, and death to choose from, I choose weakness. But see, God is employing all three of those in the Church of Corinth. We may think, well, maybe it's because some people were doing it worse than others. Perhaps, but I think there's a lot more of a personal reason for this. Same reason I know that in my parenting, my discipline with my kids is a little different, right? Isn't yours with yours? Isn't that how it works? Age alone is a reason to treat my kids differently in their discipline. I know that my 7-year-old has got different expectations on his behavior and therefore different discipline being employed than my 12-month-old, right? That's how it works. There's an age difference. Age alone is one factor, not to mention other factors. It may have been that I've been working with this one on that, and this one, this is a new thing to that person. So there's different kinds of responses from our Heavenly Father. Do you see how that works? Just think about it. A 15-year-old Christian is probably going to be responded to by God in an area of disobedience than a 15-day-old Christian. Would you agree with that? There's a different way that God is going to deal with that person. I'm not saying it's not sin in both cases. I'm just saying the discipline employed is going to be different. Sometimes areas of responsibility, sometimes the knowledge, sometimes the experience, sometimes the spiritual maturity, all of that is going to be different. Why is that important in trying to recognize God's discipline? Because sometimes I can look at somebody doing the same thing I'm doing, and I try to evaluate whether or not I'm being disciplined by whether or not they're being disciplined. And I can't always do that. Did you track that? Sometimes I'm thinking I may be in a work situation, compromising at work, doing some deal under the table, some wrong contract or whatever, and I'm working with another Christian, and they're doing the same thing, and now I'm getting disciplined over here in my life, and I'm thinking maybe that's related to that. Maybe God's trying to spank me for that. But then I say, no, I know that's not true, because I know that guy's doing the same thing, and he's a child of God, and God doesn't seem to be real concerned with that in his life. This isn't, you know, some kind of computer program God writes. This isn't the heavenly penal code that he looks up, okay, you got a little selfishness at church, here's the penalty for that. Okay, applies to you, and you. This is a father dealing with his children in an understanding, relational way, and it's gonna be different. So I need to sort it out. Did you follow that? I feel like I lost some of you on that one. Everybody needs to look at their discipline in relation to their relationship with God and realize sometimes my discipline looks different than someone else's. Don't let their lack of discipline be an excuse that maybe I'm not being disciplined now. Learn to recognize God's discipline. Every pain's not a spanking. Spankings aren't meant to be mysterious. Spankings may not seem to be related to the disobedience. All spankings are not created equal.
We're talking about God's discipline today on Focal Point with Mike Fabares. If you happen to join us late today, or if you'd like to catch up on previous messages in this study, be sure to visit the free sermon archive at focalpointradio.org. Just look for the series called Consumer Christianity, or download the free Focal Point mobile app to listen on the go. You can also find Pastor Mike's teaching on your favorite podcasting app. Just search for Focal Point with Mike Fabares. Well, we know the subject of discipline isn't exactly popular. It may even make people uncomfortable. No one likes the thought of being corrected or reprimanded. But at Focal Point, we believe in verse-by-verse Bible study, never skipping over the uncomfortable parts, because all of Scripture is important. And if you appreciate Pastor Mike's unfiltered style and believe in the importance of straightforward Bible teaching, will you link arms with us by donating today to support this ministry? Focal Point is listener-supported, and your gift truly makes a difference. When you give, we'll say thanks with a very timely and relevant book by author and apologist Nancy Piercy called Love Thy Body. Nancy is fearless, but also compassionate, arguing that secularism actually denigrates our bodies and robs us of humanity. It's a thoughtful and engaging book on a variety of sensitive but important topics. We'll send you a copy today with our thanks for your financial support of Focal Point. You can donate and request the book when you call 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or give online at focalpointradio.org. And thank you again for your support. If you'd rather send your donation by mail, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. Tomorrow, we'll continue this important discussion on God's loving discipline, reframing our perspective when God sends pain to correct and redirect. It's a hard but encouraging message, Wednesday, on Focal Point.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's Word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's Word moving in your heart right now? Drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.